Coming to you every day, alive and live, talking about HR with the people who are getting it done. So I just want to tell everybody, especially all the females out there, that today in my backpack I could not find something, and I looked through it 6 times. So I was like the ever-ending purse. That you can't, it just, stuff hides. It disappears in the purse, and then like a week later, it's like, oh, there it is. I don't know where it goes, but it's kind of like the dryer. But I did find it 6 times in the stupid backpack. So I feel your pain. I'm being empathetic, by the way. So let's get to our guest, because we need the entire show. She's got some things. She's got some thoughts and some brilliance she's going to lay down today. So, Melissa Fairman, welcome back to Drive Through HR.
Hey, Brian. Hey, Nisha. Thanks for inviting me back. With that kind of intro, now I'm a little intimidated, but hopefully I can at least entertain, if not spread brilliance.
Well, I am pretty sure I kind of have to disagree. Your level of intimidation, I don't see happening too often. You seem to dig in pretty quickly and assimilate into whatever is being talked about, which is part of the fun about being around you. So, well, hey, if you would introduce yourself to our listeners, and then we'll kind of roll into what's top of mind for you today.
Okay, well, I'm an HR practitioner. I live and work in Richmond, Virginia. Currently, I've been in the HR field for about 7 years or so. Worked in HRES, I've worked in recruiting, and right now I'm in more of a generalist role. And then on top of all that, I also write a blog called HR Remix, hrremix.com, and I'm on Twitter as well. So when I'm not working in HR, I'm talking about it and giving my opinions on it.
That you are, and they're good ones. I really actually enjoy your blog. It's one of the ones that at least I tell people I read. I don't read it very often, but at least I tell people I love that blog. So I give you the props.
Thank you.
But I have read it before, so that's a lot. So let's take us in your world. So what's kind of top of mind? Maybe we start with the fact that you mentioned this is your first annual conference that you're going to, right?
That is correct, yes. I had the pleasure of going to the Minnesota State SHRM Conference in Rochester, and so that was my first ever HR conference. And coming up this coming week is my first ever SHRM National Conference, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Well, you picked Las Vegas for your first HR conference, so that was a good. You picked a good kickoff conference to wade your way in, and this will be a good. I don't think we could actually spent the last few days with Jonathan Brewer, goes by Brew, who was also in Las Vegas, and a bunch of the other folks actually that were there, and we were trying to come up with a Chicago kind of Las Vegas term, and we haven't quite did it yet, so we'll have to work on that over the next few days.
Yeah, that one's going to be tough, you know, because it's Chicago, so, you know, it's like the Midwest version of Vegas, but not really without any casinos.
Yeah, so we'll work on that, I'm sure, with some help, definitely. So 7 years you've been a practitioner. Last year, last October, was your first HR conference ever. This is your first annual conference. why has it taken 7 years being in the profession for you to actually go to a conference? I'm curious.
Well, you know, I think it kind of depends on a couple of different factors. You know, starting off in my career, companies, I think, are a little bit more reluctant to send newbies to conferences and things like that. And then also, you know, sometimes, too, you work for companies that maybe doesn't see the value in it or doesn't see the value of an all-day type of thing. So it might be, hey, okay, you can go do this training, you know, or go to this session for a couple hours, but in terms of a whole day, you know, it's a lot to take somebody out of the office for an entire day, couple days, and then pay for that conference fee and everything. So I actually really didn't I really mostly spent most of my time networking on a more local level. And then I kind of wanted to just branch out and find out what else was going on, and that's when I started blogging. And then I got connected to this whole other network of people, so I ended up going to the Minnesota State Conference, like I mentioned. And, you know, I've always wanted to go to SHRM National, but it is pretty pricey. So that's part of it, too. And then also, you know, it's 3 days out of the office and everything. So this year, I just, you know, I'm going to be part of the social media team. So between that and, you know, actually having a little bit of time on my schedule and everything, I was like, okay, this is it. I'm going this year. So yeah, I'm really excited. It's almost overwhelming looking at all this stuff going on, all the different sessions, and that doesn't even include the parties. but yeah, the long and short of it, you know, I think it's just hard sometimes to find the money and the time to be able to go.
That's pretty interesting, Melissa. And other than that, before I ask what's keeping you up at night from an HR perspective, yes, you are going for your first SHRM annual conference, and more than that, you're working with the social media team of it. So what kind of sessions are you looking for, and which after parties are you looking for? What are you really targeting in this SHRM conference?
Well, you know, I have an ambitious agenda. So there are quite a few sessions that I want to go to that I'm trying to split them 50-50 or 60-40, it depends, on stuff that's more strategic and stuff that I'm not doing on a day-to-day basis, just to keep expanding my, you know, my knowledge and everything. And then also, so that's the session piece of it. And then also, too, some of my big goals, you know, are to meet some people that I've been talking, quote-unquote, with, whether on the phone or over Facebook or Twitter, for what seems like a really long time. So people like Michael Vandervoort, I haven't met him yet. I'd love to meet him. Dave Ryan, I haven't met Steve Brown yet. I've been reading, like, Joe Gerstadt for a long time, would love to meet him in person. So part of it, too, is, you know, that networking aspect of it. I want to meet a lot of people. And then the parties, I've been RSVPing, too, a lot. So I know for sure I'm going to the Glassdoor party because I heard that was awesome. And I'm probably going to check out Globo Force's party that they have, cocktail reception or something. And then we'll see from there where else, you know, the time takes me. What about you guys? Where are you guys heading?
Well, yeah, we'll be there on Sunday, and then we will be having our live stream radio show. So that's pretty exciting. I'm looking forward to that. And meeting a lot of people in real life because we have been following them on social media for a while. And this is the right opportunity. And I think this after our parties will give us a platform to have enough time to interact personally and have a fruitful conversation. How about you, Brian?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Melissa, you're if Glassdoor comes through again like it did last year, that was definitely the blowout bash of the year. They did a great job. I mean, there was no... The venue was interesting, and everybody was definitely engaged. I'll leave it at that. And it was pretty cool. Met actually, what's interesting, at that party, ended up meeting meeting somebody that we've been talking to on the phone, and that person ended up, Don McPherson, who ended up being one of our speakers and a friend now, that all went down at the Glassdoor party last year in Atlanta. So that is how, literally, met him, figured out we kind of know each other, that we, you know what I mean, kind of like, oh my gosh, it's great to meet you, because we'd corresponded, we have some people in common, and figured all that out, and then started to continue the conversation about the assessment side, you know, the old business, and then that rolled into, hey, I'm starting to keynote speak, and then, you know, a year later, Don just literally just completed a speaking engagement for us 2 days ago in Florida. So, you know, he's actually one of our CVOC speakers, part of the family. So that's definitely one of the powers of, like, going to the conferences, is pulling together that personal relationship. Because everybody you listed off, you will not be disappointed. I mean, there's everybody... They're, you know, you authentic bunch you listed off, Mike and Steve and Joe, and all that I definitely call friends, and just people that I really respect. So, real quick, and Nisha, I apologize because I forgot to do it in the intro. Yes, and hopefully, Melissa, if you get time, you can come by and check it out. We're doing our first ever with HRC, in partnership with HRCI, in their booth in the middle of the expo hall. We're doing a live stream drive-through HR, which we don't have the URL, we don't have anything yet, on Sunday and Tuesday. So Sunday morning at 10:30, from 10:30 to 11, will be the first ever live stream video drive-through HR. So that is going to be fascinating on many levels, because we've never did it. It's in person. It's video. And so we'll see if the cleverness and brilliance transcends into video, or it's a complete disaster. One way or the other. That's all that counts, right?
Well, that sounds great. I mean, that sounds really good. I'll have to try and catch it at the airport or something, because I think I'll be at the airport at that time. But what's the time on the Tuesday session?
9 a.m.
Oh, wow. Early. No, I'm kidding.
0900. Oh, yeah. No, you said what everybody else think. I heard the collective, oh, wow. the sigh of, like, Tuesday, especially Tuesday, because you're kind of getting, I mean, I know there's the 6,000 people that are there at 7 a.m. every time, but by Tuesday, you're starting to get a little weary, because you've logged a few days, so going to have to be bright and my cheery self. So
yeah, get your makeup artist going there.
Dude, I'm going to be pimped out, I guarantee it. That's part of the writer.
That's
funny. You know, I love the ambitious schedule. So, and you're very pragmatic. I've always, our interactions have, you know, you seem to have everything together. So I appreciate the fact that you're going to try and knock all the session and the learning component, because that's probably what gets a little tough, because the transitions in between the two and space, you got to kind of keep moving, and then you get stopped and you meet somebody that you either didn't know or you wanted to meet, and that turns into the conversation that drifts over into the session times. That's what's happened for years to me. I'm not that disciplined, but I can say, I'll find you later. I have to go to this session. I don't know if I've ever did that. I maybe once, but it was an accident, so I won't do it again.
Wasn't somebody you didn't really want to talk to anyway, huh?
You know, there's a decent chance that was the case, too. I don't quite remember, but... Yeah, that's possible. That's always possible. So kind of jumping into, you know, we talked in pre-show a little bit about this, and what are your thoughts on kind of the tin cup experiment, him unplugging for 90 days this summer from all social media?
Well, you know, when I read his post he put up on FOT, you know, I was thinking to myself, oh, darn, I'm not going to get to talk to him because I was really, you know, I love talking to him. But then I was like, wait a second, he's probably going to be at Sherm, and then he's got his phone number out there. And, you know, it's just kind of funny how my first thought was, oh, I won't get to, quote, unquote, talk to him. And I was like, no, wait a second. You know what I mean? Like, so I thought that was interesting that the idea of talking has been almost in some ways overtaken by Twitter and Facebook and things like that in my brain. And that's a little scary on some level, I think. You know, I really like what he's doing. I think in some ways, sometimes I feel like social media and just the constant multitasking, sometimes it makes you feel stupider. Like, you feel like you accomplish less during the day, you know? And so I can definitely see where somebody as connected as him, you know, would just need to take a break. We all need to take a break sometimes. I was talking with Chris Fields yesterday, and I was telling him, I think when I come back from Sherm, I'm probably going to take a couple of days off social media, just kind of decompress and be able to process it all. Because I feel like when you're constantly updating Twitter, constantly updating Facebook, you know, doing all this, doing all of that stuff, you don't always get a chance to process. And I find that lately I've been, you know, telling myself, okay, just shut it off. I actually need to focus and process my thoughts, you know, before I write something, before I do something. So I'll definitely be interested to talk with him or hear his thoughts, you know, on his disconnecting.
Cool. That pretty much opens up a venue for, you know, talking to people in person or through over the phone. Just dial a number and talk to them. You know, I really like that idea of connecting with people, even if it is Google Hangout or if it is a phone number, dial them up and have a real conversation. So that helps us in terms of, you know, continue that relationship in a meaningful manner rather than just retweeting and then posting comments. So
yeah, I agree. I mean, if you think about it too, Nisha, the first time I think you reached out to me, we maybe had a couple brief tweets back and forth, but I didn't really, you know, actually put a name to a face until I actually talked to you in not in person, over Google Talk.
Yeah, totally. We have started on Google Hangout. Really, and I really appreciate that time that you took to talk to me. And Melissa, I remember your first conference was in Minnesota, right?
Mm-hmm.
So met a lot of people in real life during that time. So what's your take on this online, offline persona? Is there a disconnect, or have you experienced any kind of a disconnect, or did you have any kind of an awkward moment, or I just want to know your take on that online, offline experience.
Well, I think...
And then in the real room.
Oh, Melissa and I were completely awkward when we met in person. It was horrible. I was totally disappointed. She's nothing like her online persona. It's horrible. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, neither is Brian. He's actually really nice in person. No, I'm kidding. But, no, I mean, I think you bring up a good point. You know, sometimes we hear stories about people that pretend to be things that they're not online. You know, like Manti Te'o's girlfriend who wasn't even really a girl and all that stuff. But, you know, for me, I've just always gone through life just like, hey, here I am. It is what it is. And, you know, that's just been my attitude. And everybody, I think I can say 100% of the people that I've met in our space that I've gotten to meet in real life are just the way they are over Facebook and Twitter. And that's been great. You know, that's, I think, what is great about our space is there's a lot of very genuine people that is, they're just the way that they seem sometimes online. So I think that's been my experience, very positive experience so far.
Cool.
You know what? Hey, Nisha,
yeah,
let me jump in one second.
Okay.
You know, I think one of the things that makes kind of makes the HR space, and I guess in my opinion, a little bit unique, we're a pretty cynical bunch, right? We're pretty discerning about calling bullshit on, like, are you really trying to represent yourself as this, that, or the other? And it's not the case. I mean, because you have to deal with people is your product and your profession, basically. So you have to be discerning in a lot of areas that it's a science that just doesn't exist, right? And so you have to really kind of get in tune with just reading people and you know, just having, you know, kind of relying on some intuition and what you see and hear. So I think that's a big kind of policing kind of factor for the people not misrepresenting themselves. Because I don't think I've really had anybody that misrepresented themselves. I mean, other than the occasional, you know, kind of sweet, all sweet and nice, and then you really get done, you know, you really get under the cover, so to speak. Not a great analogy, but and you find out that, okay, not exactly as sweet as one would think on the outside, but totally represented, you know, I mean, as far as what you see, what you hear, and everything, pretty much on point. So I don't think I've really had anybody that it was a complete curveball, like, oh, my God, that is not even close, like an online dating disaster story you hear about, like in social media, where they were completely a different person. I, in 4 years, have never had that happen.
Yeah, and I think to your point, too, you know, I mean, it does really speak to, I think part of it's the profession, too. We're a lot of, you know, most HR people are a lot more perceptive just because they have to be, you know. So yeah, I would concur with that.
Yeah. There's a question that came up on our Twitter feed from David. Is communication a matter of human connection or efficient contact gathering? Or networking by numbers versus true connection. So what's your take on, is it just networking by numbers, or is it really matter to have a real true connection with that, even if it is one or two people?
So is I want to make sure I understand the question. Is it asking, you know, what's better, networking by number or having a smaller network that you're more intimate with?
Yeah, is it better networking by numbers versus making true connection, even if it is, you know, two or three people?
You know, I think the personal connection at the end of the day is what is really, I think that's the most important part. I don't want to say that networking by numbers is a bad thing. It's always good to have lots of connections in your network. But I think what social media does is it takes it to that next level. So it puts you out there so you have a bigger pool to meet and network with. But at the end of the day, it really is the personal connection that really matters. You know, to pick up the phone to somebody and say, hey, I've got this issue here. Have you ever dealt with it? Can you help me with this? What's your advice? You know, at the end of the day, I think the personal connection, it rules everything. But, you know, social media is just simply another avenue for you to build those personal connections.
Cool. That's pretty interesting. And Chris Phil has just tweeted out, has Melissa has talked about what's keeping up at night? From an HR perspective, actually, we really moved on to what's going on in your world, and then we talked about TREM conference that's coming up next week. So, yeah, what's really keeping up at night in your HR world?
Well, you know, there's two things. On one is I just realized that I'm trying to find a purple squirrel. I am one of those people that's trying to find a purple squirrel that describes this ideal, and I'm like, yes, I'm going to go out and find this person. We have an opening on the HR team here where I work, and I'm working to find somebody to fill that position. And as I'm going through stuff and I'm talking with people, and I'm like, you know, I'm looking for a purple squirrel. I'm not sure this person exists. So once I realized that, though, I was able to take a step back a little bit. So that was keeping me up for a little bit. You know, and then another thing that sometimes keeps me up is sometimes I worry that in our quest to, you know, prove how valuable HR is, that we're not giving our employees what they really want. And I think to kind of give a little bit more background to that, I read a post today about simplifying HR. And I think there was a lot of good points in that, whereas, like, you know, for example, calculating somebody's increase, a manager doesn't want to sit there and look at some long formula. An employee doesn't want to be the result of a formula for their increase. You know, you reward your best talent. It's that simple, period. So sometimes I've been thinking about that a lot lately, too. You know, are we on such a quest to prove that we're a solid part of the business, that we're neglecting to think of what our employees really need from us?
Cool, that's interesting. So what employees really want from HR?
What do I think they want?
Yes, because there, I've always seen that there is a disconnect between, you know, what employees say they want and what employers think their employees want. So I want to take your opinion on, or your take on, you know, what employees really want from HR.
Well, you know, I think at a very basic level, they don't want some of our cumbersome processes. I have a friend of mine who's a manager at a big Fortune 500 company, and for her to do performance appraisals is very stressful. And I'm not talking about the conversation. I'm talking about just getting into her system, doing the performance appraisal, you know, forms or whatever they are, coming up with the information. It's part of a 360 process, so then she has to solicit information from everybody else. And it's a very stressful thing for her. And then, you know, she's got these emails coming that, you know, this is due, this is due. So I think on one very basic level, employees, managers, they don't want a lot of process. They don't want a lot of forms, you know, but sometimes we still think that way, that that's how we prove our value, is that we have these processes in place to demonstrate the value.
Cool, that's interesting. And especially when you do a lot of programs for supporting your employees or retaining and then motivating. So there is a real relationship between what a manager can do and what an HR can do in terms of retaining and then motivating your employees. So success lies in a proper, you know, manager training in terms of how to prepare them to take a decision and then discuss with their team members and promote these programs and then collect feedback for HR on how these programs are perceived, I think so. So what's your take on that? What's the relationship between this manager and HR in terms of bringing that work environment to their employees?
Well, I think it starts with listening, asking a lot of questions and listening, because different companies are going to have different problems, they're going to have different types of employees. You know, I work in the building construction distribution business, so what our managers and our employees need is going to be different than what somebody needs who works at Oracle. So I think it starts with that, with listening to people, asking questions, and then, you know, putting forth whatever the suggestions might be, and then listening more and asking more questions. So I think it kind of starts with that, and it's probably, I think in my experience, it's pretty unique sometimes to the company and the industry.
Cool, you're right on, Melissa. And we have only 1 minute left now, but then I just wanted to ask this question that is tweeted on our Twitter stream. Is HR working too hard to prove its relevance and missing the mark of giving the employees what they want?
I think sometimes, yeah. I think in some cases that does happen. I don't think it's out of, you know, I think it's just natural. Everybody wants, especially in our corporations today with our economic environment, every group wants to make sure that, you know, the business sees what they're doing, sees that it has value, but we shouldn't get so obsessed with that viewpoint that we're not actually sitting down and still talking with our employees and managers.
Cool. That's pretty great, Melissa. So where can people come and find you? Where can people connect you?
Well, I'm on Twitter, HR Remix. You can find me on Facebook as well. You can find me on LinkedIn, Melissa Fairman, and then there's my blog, HR Remix. And then if you're going to be at the SHRM meeting, I'll be hanging at the SHRM National in Chicago. I'll be hanging out in the Bloggers Lounge and the Hive, so stop by.
Cool. Well, thank you so much, Melissa, for stopping by and then spending your time with us. It's really a fun conversation, and look forward to meeting you at your manual.
Okay, great. I look forward to meeting you too, Nisha. Thanks again for having me, everybody.
Have fun. Take care.
Thanks.
So there you go, guys. We'll meet you all tomorrow.